Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Thank you so much, Pastor James, for leading us through the service today. And for all of you who are joining us online, on air, welcome to our Watoto Church service. I know you are going to be absolutely encouraged today, inspired, or even challenged through what you're going to hear today. As Watoto family, we always begin there with two things. And the first one is this: prayer. We love to pray and seek God. So starting tomorrow, Monday the 11th, we're going to pray corporately for 3 weeks this time. That's what we felt like doing as pastors. Because you know what? There are things that we need God to do in our lives. And so awesome things happen when God's people pray. So you can tune in on Power FM from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. and also at lunchtime from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Our pastors will be on there leading us in prayer, and you can find the guide on our social media platforms. Let's pray together. But the second thing we like to go back to is our vision. You know, Pastor Gary, it's an honor, first of all, to be with you today as we go to share vision. You are such a great father, but also a visionary, and you've taught us what vision is. Proverbs 29 and verse 28 says this when it comes to this subject of vision that we're going to be talking about today. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Other versions say people cast off restraint and live recklessly and end up destroying their lives. Now, 2020 has been a fairly difficult year. And sometimes when we face extreme challenges, when we face frustration and failure, or even when we have uncertainty around our future, we lose vision. And yet the Bible says without it, we are headed for destruction. So today, as we talk about vision, Gary, I'd like you to share with us, what is vision and why is vision so important?
Well, you know, Julius, I think that vision is probably one of the most important ingredients for success in life. And the reason is because if you have no vision, you have no purpose.
Right.
You have no direction. You don't know where you're going. You're probably going nowhere. You're trying to just find some kind of purpose and meaning. And so you'll try pleasure or different things, but you will have no vision. You'll have no purpose. You'll have no direction. And you know, you can have a lot of people who are running but getting nowhere, running around in circles, or they're talking but they're not saying anything, or they're busy but they're busy doing nothing. Right. And I think vision is something that then brings about clarity, purpose. When you have vision, the very opposite happens. You have purpose, you have direction, you have meaning, you have focus, you're going somewhere, you're excited about getting there. Where you're going is good, it's noble, it's grand. And so I think it's absolutely critical for everybody to have vision. And vision is something that everybody needs to have for their own lives, for their family, maybe for their own business. But we have to have corporate vision. We have to have vision for our community. You have to have vision for our church. We have to have vision for our nation. And no nation, no community, no city will go, no business, no family will go where they haven't had a vision. They say, that's where we're going. Mm-hmm. And there's, in fact, I feel very much like the world that we're living in right now is a purposeless world. Because people don't know where they're going. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I know what my vision is. My vision is to bring about the sovereignty of Jesus over the planet, where we have the character of Jesus being lived out in the community, where we have truth and we have justice and we have righteousness and we have goodness and we have a kindness that flows through our generosity, all of the things that are about the character of God. So God very clearly told me to come to Uganda 37 years ago, and I came with a vision. I came with a purpose. He said, plant an English-speaking church downtown in the heart of the capital city. Through that church, I will touch the city. I will touch the nation. We're here to bring about transformation, and we'll talk a little bit more about it later, but we're here to raise a generation, the next generation of young people who are going to make a difference in this country, a difference in this city, a difference in their families, because they will not just try to live for self, but they will live for a greater cause, and that cause is the kingdom of God. Now, I did a study on vision a number of years ago. Vision is seeing. Right. You have to see where you're going. I built a house down next to the lake. Not a very big house, but it's a nice house. And I saw it long before I ever built it. I saw the property. I saw what the lake looked like in front of it. You have to see it. We have to have a picture in our heads of where we're going. We also have to realize that we need a vision that is big.
Yep.
Something that is grand, something that is noble, something that is life transforming, something that touches other people. It's not just about what we're going to get out of this, but what we're going to be able to contribute and give out of it. Vision is big. The vision is not only big, but vision is bigger than you. It's not about my generation. I'm here for Julius's generation, but I'm also here for the generation that is behind Julius. I'm not here for building a name for myself or for getting rich or for getting famous. I am here for something that is much bigger than me. It's about transforming a community, a city, a nation, a generation. Vision is challenging. There are always going to be difficulties. There's always going to be people who say, you can't do it. It's too big. Well, that's what God wants to do. God wants to do something really big so that he can get the glory and the honor. Vision requires commitment. You're never going to reach a vision when the challenge comes along unless you have commitment. And that commitment is going to require you to give your time and to give your treasure, your money. You will put your money and you will put your time to the things that you value. And if you have a vision that drives you, you'll spend your time and you'll spend your money on it. Vision brings focus. You won't be running here, there, and everywhere, wondering what I'm doing next. You will know exactly where you're going. Vision also motivates.
Yep.
People who are excited about life have something to live for. And I believe the greatest vision is the church. We have something grand and noble, the sovereignty of Jesus,
yes,
to bring back truth and righteousness and justice and goodness to our community instead of corruption and lies and deceit. You know, so many people trust nobody anymore. They don't trust the politicians. They don't trust their preachers. They don't trust the policemen. They don't trust their parents. They don't trust. Why? Because we've lost a focus on what's good and right and noble and just and good. And that's what the church is about. That's why we're here as a church. We're here to raise a generation of young people who will make a difference because they begin to live out the character of Jesus in their community. It's not going to be about making more money. It's not going to be about getting a better job or a better title or a better position. It's going to be about contributing to the health and the welfare of people that are around about us. So it brings focus and it motivates. And vision is very specific. You know exactly what you have to do if you're a visionary leader. And here's another thing, that amazing thing that vision does. Vision brings unity. We will never have unity until we have a grand, noble, glorious vision in front of us that we can all live for. And that's what we all need. And I believe the church can provide that vision for us, bringing about the kingdom of God, bringing about the sovereignty of Jesus over our nation, where we have truth and goodness in our nation. And then vision provides or attracts provision. We'll never have to worry about the money. So I'm passionate about the fact that we must, as a church, recognize that God has called us to do something significant in our community, to leave behind a legacy of godliness and holiness and truth and justice and righteousness and faithfulness and patience and kindness and generosity, all the things that can make our nation a great nation. Where does it start? Right with every one of us catching a vision from Jesus about building the kingdom of God, building the church.
Amazing. I would sit here all day and just listen, because each time we talk about vision, it just comes out of you. I was only 10 years old when I came to Watoto Church, gave my heart to Jesus. And as a 16-year-old, when I renewed my faith in him, came to Watoto. And what I found was the presence of Jesus, so powerful in our celebration points and in our worship. But the other thing was the clarity of vision. And how that clarity came, Gary, is we have our vision written down. Because vision is so important, you write it down. Habakkuk says, write it down. And here's our vision statement. We are an English-speaking, cell-based community church, celebrating Christ, growing and multiplying as each one reaches one touching those around us with the love of Jesus, bringing healing to the cities and the nations. Those of you who are part of Watoto could probably recite that vision. That's our mandate. And Gary, 37 years ago, God put that in your heart. And I just want to celebrate some things that God has done, and then we are going to move into the future, which is very exciting. You know, just about 2020, difficult year, but God was still on the move. Our vision was still clear, strong. Before the lockdown, actually, Gary, we were averaging close to 35,000 people coming to church. And when we were locked down, the vision wasn't locked down. We continued to celebrate Christ online and on air. And from what we see from our social media and TV is probably over 100,000 people watching the services. And we thank God that it just expanded. We continue to care for community. And we saw God's provision through the faithful giving of Watoto Church members, but also our sponsors and partners around the world. And we want to thank you for that. God healed our choir that was affected by COVID-19. Great things have happened amidst this. And we also planted a new location in Mbarara. Man, that's amazing. Not only did we plant, we bought a piece of property. Yeah. God is still on the move in these years. And so today we are at 14 locations. We've, by God's grace, rescued over 1,500 babies. We've given a chance to and a hope to close to 5,600 little boys and girls that were orphaned and have been vulnerable in all these years. That's about 7,000. We've reached out and restored dignity to 5,500 women in our communities who now have their lives back again by God's grace. He's enabled us to do that. We have sent out 107 choirs all around the world. Amazing. Telling the goodness of God. And as a result, we have 13 country offices helping us to do what we do. All of this is a result of vision, you know, and reached out to schools. There's so much we could share that God has done. But that is in the past, Gary. That's in the past. And we celebrate it, you know. Yeah, but there's so much more God wants to do. Is God finished yet, Gary?
Absolutely not. I know that God is a God who says, I want to do something new. It's right in front of you. Get a hold of it. Grab a hold of it. God wants to do something so exciting that it will amaze us. As we look back, we say, wow, look at what God did. But God wants to do even more amazing things in the future. But we have to have a vision and we have to have a commitment to that vision.
That's great. You know, as pastors, we came to a point, critical point, when we were celebrating 25 years as a church, and God was moving us to the next level, and it was a significant one. It would require us to change our name from KPC to Watoto, and I remember you clarifying who we were supposed to be. So I would like us to watch this video and hear Gary's heart almost 12 years ago, and then we will be right back and get into the future.
Some genocide have occurred.
The cat and mouse game between the police and residents in the poorest townships.
Ethnic violence is only continuing.
Lynching immigrants
thought to have been burned to death in their own homes, and the nearby Nakuru.
It's a simmering cocktail of poverty and poor services. Inadequate housing.
60 have died in the last few days.
In the ensuing disease and starvation.
I believe that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. God has shaped this great church into a powerful and significant beacon of hope in the land of Uganda and positioned her for influence in the rest of Africa and around the world.
Thank you.
I have a dream that injustice will roll back like the morning sun as the Church of God becomes practical in its love. The church that I see is not just theological, but it's relational. A church that rises up and captures the call of her Savior to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world, bringing hope to a devastated community. Watoto in Swahili means the children. But to the world that has grown to know and to love it, to the multitudes of children and women who have been rescued and are being raised by it, to the nation of Uganda and to the continent of Africa who are being empowered through it, Watoto is synonymous with the true meaning of what the church is meant to be. The church that I see is Watoto Church.
What an amazing video. You were just as passionate then as you are today, Gary. That's so awesome. You know, as a father, as a founder, I just would like you, from your heart, what do you see for Watoto? What do you see for Africa? What do you see for Uganda? I'd just like you to be free.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is absolutely critical about Watoto Church, and I think needs to be critical about our nation and about our city, is that we are youth-focused.
Right.
We've always said we're going to be a young people's church. And a lot of the older people said, well, what about us? As older people, and I'm one of those older people, I am here to encourage the next generation to be the best generation that Uganda ever had. I'm here to encourage the next generation of pastors and leaders to be the greatest leaders. That's why I exist. So I'm not running away from a youth-focused church. I'm sticking around to say to the next generation, this is so important. We've been reaching children through Watoto Child Care Ministries, which is now part of Watoto Neighborhood. We're reaching the most vulnerable women in our community who are struggling to raise their children. Why? So that we can reach their children and we can raise them to be leaders so that we can bring about a rebuilding of our nation. It's very clear focus. This is what God laid upon our hearts. To focus on the children, to focus on the young people, to focus on the next generation so that we can bring about transformation for our community. The truth of the matter is that sometimes we who are older try to fashion our society for ourselves. And we hang on to our power. We hang on to our control and our authority. Every father is going to have children and he's going to raise those children so that he can send them out to be better than he is. That's what I have a vision for the youth of this church, for the youth of this city, for the youth of this nation, for the youth of this continent. We're the youngest continent. We're the youngest nation. We're one of the youngest cities in the world. And I believe that the future belongs to us as young people. But we can't do it alone. We need to do it together with those of us who are older, hand in hand, working together for what's good and for what's noble and for what's right. So I think we're here about raising leaders. I am here to raise those children to be leaders. We started cells. The whole purpose of small groups throughout the community was to raise up leaders in the community. To do what? To serve their community, to go into the community and to find the most vulnerable. This is the other thing that is so clear about our vision, is that God didn't ask us just to try and gather or have church services that would gather a lot of rich people so we could have big offerings and do big things. He has called us as a church to focus on the most vulnerable, to focus on the poorest. If you look at the Bible, you'll see it over and over again. I've been memorizing Psalm 103, and it talks about Psalm 72 rather, where it talks about giving the king, endowing the king with justice and the royal son with righteousness. And then it goes on and talks about the awesomeness of God, and it says God is awesome because, and then he cares for the needy, he cares for the poor, he cares for the vulnerable, he cares for the hurting, he cares for the wounded. And that's who we are as a church. That is our vision. It doesn't matter what your job title is, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, it doesn't matter how important you think you are. We need to be serving our community. In fact, we're coming up to a time of elections. In fact, I think it's going to be tomorrow or this week. This week that we're going to have elections. We need to vote for people who are already serving their community, not people who want to hold a political title or a political job. We need to be asking ourselves if the people that we're going to vote into that office are people who hold our values, who hold our worldview. Just look at their name. See what their name is up on that poster and find out if they are following Jesus or they're following somebody else. Ask yourself whether they're there to bring about righteousness and truth and justice and the character of a holy God or something else. We need to be asking ourselves whether people are just wanting to be the Lord of something or whether they're willing to be the servant of something.
Come on.
So I think this is what our dream, our vision is to raise up this next generation of young people who will be servant leaders. It's absolutely critical for us. And our focus is transformation, to bring about change, to bring about healing, to bring about a difference to our community. We're poor. We're backwards. You can't rely on anybody. Everybody's going to try to get some money out of you through some corrupt practice, including those that are in government positions and authority. It's so difficult to run business or to do anything in this city. We have to change that. I'm here to say to the next generation, say no to corruption. Mm-hmm. Say no to all of that political intrigue and all of that kind of stuff. Let's begin to live the kind of lives that will build a great nation. That's what God wants for us. You know, God very clearly said to me, and this is critical. God said to me, I want Watoto Church to be alive, but not wild,
right.
Conservative, but not dead. We are here to have the life alive, the life of Jesus pulsating through everything that we do. Our music, our preaching, everything that we do is about life. But we're not here to be wild. We're not going to put on a show. It's not about how well the pastor preaches. It's not how great the voices are of the singers that are up here. We're here to honor Jesus. We're here to lift up Jesus. Jesus is at the core and the center of everything that we do. Another great portion of scripture that I've been memorizing is that one from Ephesians chapter 1 in the Message, where it says, God raised Jesus from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name, no power exempt from his rule. And not just for now, but for the time being, but forever. And at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and he acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. The hope of our community is the church. You should not be voting for someone this week who is not going to church and doesn't have their hands raised up and has not surrendered the sovereignty of their lives to the sovereignty of Jesus. If anybody is not putting Jesus first, they should not be in a position of leadership in this nation. That's my passion. That's my dream. I want to raise up a generation of young people who will say, I'm here to serve Jesus by serving you. And that's the vision that I have. So whether it's the children, whether it's cells, whether it's young people, whether it's the kind of church services that we have, it's about raising the next generation of transformational leaders who will bring about healing to this city and to this nation. And I want to say this, and I've said it so many times, but it's so important for me to say it again. It is Africa's turn.
Come on.
The rest of the world is going crazy. We're not sure what the agenda is for the rest of the world, but most of it is becoming secular. Or most of it is trying to become Islamic. Or in India, to become Hindu. And they're trying to control those nations through those... Africa's turn is ahead of us. God wants to do something through African young people as they live out the culture of Christ, as they live out the character of Christ, that will bring a transformation to Africa, and we can see Africa rise. We don't need to be dependent upon the West for success. We need to be dependent upon our trust in truth, in righteousness, in Jesus for what the future holds. We can do it. We can do it. We can build better economies. We can build better businesses. We can build better schools. God can give us the ideas to become entrepreneurial and to become creative because he's a creative God. We can. Young people, I'm here to tell you that my time might be coming to an end. because I'm getting older and older. But I want to plant something on the inside of you that will say, I have a future, I have a hope, I have a dream, I have a vision for my family, my life, for my family, for my city, for my nation. And it's a good vision. It's a vision that is not just about making money or having titles, but it's bringing about health to our society where there is success and there is prosperity. And Jesus is where he belongs, first and foremost.
Wow. That's so inspiring. I told you we're going to be inspired. We're going to be encouraged. But we are also going to be challenged by today's message. Now, this coming week, we're going to talk a little more on the specifics of what 2021 looks like for us as Watoto family. But Gary, what you have shared is like a wake-up call. It's time for us to actually arise and shine and be the church, be the country, be the people God has called us to be. That's why I love vision. Vision is so powerful. We would have loved to spend more time sharing and drawing out Gary's heart, but as we come to the end of today's message, Gary, I would like you to take a moment and pray. Pray for that next generation. Pray for our country. Pray that God will give us this divine revelation, a vision that will not only we will live for, but one we are willing to die for.
You know, Jesus wants us to come to all of this, not by asking, what am I going to get out of this? But what can I give? And the more you give, the more you get back. So I want to pray that this generation will be a generation that gives themselves to building a new Uganda, a new Africa. Can I pray for you? Father, I want to thank you for a generation of young people, so many who wonder what the future is. Some thinking money or positions or titles will do it. But Lord, what they need is they need to hear from you. They need to be a part of building the kingdom of God, putting Jesus first, allowing truth and righteousness and justice to be the way that we live in our land, where we care for the hurting and the wounded and the poor and the broken around about us, where the Holy Spirit comes down and covers the nation and covers the city with love and with goodness and with kindness. Oh God, help us to see a generation of young people that will be like that. And I want to pray for those that are listening. I pray that they would get a vision. I pray that they would get a fresh passion for how they can be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem of what Uganda will be in the future. I thank you for that. I pray for this week when we have elections. I pray that you would help Ugandans to vote and to put people in place who will be servant leaders and build a great nation, not because of the title they will get, but because of the service they will be able to provide. I thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Gary, for sharing your heart. Been such a powerful service. Hey, if you're watching today or listening and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, a great vision starts with a surrender to Jesus. Why don't you give your heart to him as we begin this year? We'd like to walk alongside you and help you. So if that's you, please write to us at connect@watotochurch.com and somebody will be in touch with you and we're going to help you start your best life ever. You know, Gary, you mentioned vision brings provision. And the way God provides is through his people, through our regular tithes and our offerings. Whatever you give, my friends, goes to vision. Because we know where we're going. We want to see healing come to the cities and the nations. And so as we close today, I want to invite you to be generous, to give generously towards the work God has us to do. We can never outgive God because he's a big, great, grand, loving God. So get your tithes and offerings ready. And the giving instructions are going to come up on the screen. And this year, we're going to arise and shine for his glory. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.